Hello, everyone, and welcome to the LEGIONPODCAST. I am Murray Fox, and this week I am an agent of MUPPETS. I am making unusual puppets perform entertaining TV skits. I have been watching the new Muppets show.
How is it
now? Yeah, I want to know.
I really like it. Yeah, nice. Like, of all the Muppet shows that they've done, this one I feel is closest to like the original Muppet show.
Nice.
It's got the same kind of, I think it's closest to the same flavor that the original had while still being its own thing.
Nice.
They've got,
that's good.
Yeah, like they've got guest stars, sort of. They tend to be, like, I'm sure they did all the guest spots and they just, like, they're the same guest stars over the first six episodes so far. But,
right.
But they probably filmed them all in one, like on the same day or whatever. But, but you know, they've got some guests. They've got rotating features that float in and out of the series. You know, they've got the Swedish Chef doing his thing. They've got Bunsen Honeydew doing his thing. Piggy, of course, gets her own little lifestyle segment. It's pretty good. They've added a few new touches, but not so many that it's unrecognizable. I really like it. It's
nice.
It's like truly all ages. Like there's stuff there that, It's great. It's really good. There's stuff for the kids. There's stuff that we get. There's stuff. It's good. It's good, solid Muppet fun.
Good.
Yeah,
that's,
I like
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
I like
something we all need.
100%. It's very good. Scooter kind of takes he's the host, I guess. Host there instead of like a. Instead of a, they're still doing like a variety show, sort
right.
of, but instead of doing it on a stage, they're uploading like a web series or whatever.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, so Scooter is like the webmaster, so he's kind of the one uploading each. So he's kind of taken on the Kermit role, but Kermit's still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. You can't have the Muppets without Kermit.
You cannot.
No.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's very good. I recommend it. If you're into the Muppets, it's a good show.
Very
it's
nice.
Funny checking it out at some point, but it's good to hear that someone's liking it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the same. I've always enjoyed the various series, and I've always been able to find something good out of it, even when they maybe weren't quite as great. But yeah, I just haven't got around to this one, and I definitely need to.
I like it's quick. They're like 20-minute episodes or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Maybe 20. I mean, I'm not sure why. Like, does Disney Plus have commercials? I can't imagine that they
well,
do.
Well, no, but I wonder if
they probably set it up so that it could easily be
syndicated,
sold off, and commercialized if needed.
For all we know, that was the original intent. And
maybe.
Then,
yeah,
like,
for sure.
Like everything else, it gets burned off as a streamer.
Yeah,
could be the other way around. They could be having on the streaming show and later on put it on ABC. I mean, that's the one they own, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a possibility too, for sure.
Nice.
For sure.
All right. That's awesome.
Uh-huh.
Well, and I am Paul French, and as always, I rolled the curtain back a little bit, and so you'll know that we recorded this a week ago. I am the managing director of Long Weekend. I had completely forgotten that it was Monday, and then Murray sent the text, and it's like, oh, that's now, that's today, and so you know, it's like, I'm going to need an acronym. So for this long weekend, I am the leader of not generating weekly efforts, exploiting keywords early, no dice.
That totally works.
Yeah, it ended up all right. I'm glad I had the extra few minutes because yes, not only was it early, and even as we went, I was like, do I think I could come up with something else in the time it takes Murray to talk about the Muppets? It's like, oh no, but I want to talk about the Muppets too. So, all right, I guess I'm sticking with it.
Perfect.
Yes. Well, we have had a day of, getting kids ready for school and all that. And so one of the neighbors came by today and cut their hair out on the back patio. And she did a marvelous job. Sarah got her, we were like, whatever you guys want, you can do. And so she got hers buzzed with like a big shag on the front, and she loves it. And I like it too, because it means she won't always be getting spaghetti sauce in her hair.
Damn, I was having my fingers crossed. I'm like, mohawk.
It was close. One of the styles that she had chosen had sort of like a faux hawk thing going on, but nice. But then she changed her mind as they were going, and so she got sort of this asymmetric thing that she just loves it. Cool. Yeah, and then Ella was like, I just want the ends trimmed. So it was one extreme to the other, but then we sat out back for a while and enjoyed our backyard, and then tomorrow we take the kids out to get a new outfit back to school, and then the staggered entry begins.
Right.
So
party.
Yeah, exactly. Jeez, yeah. Where they're like, all right, your teacher is going to call you this week, and then you will know who it is. And it's like, well, Sarah's teacher already emailed us, basically. Like, she was like, let's just get this out of the way. And totally. Yes. But yes, the Labor Day weekend, which normally would be Murray and I texting back and forth complaining that we didn't get to make it out to Fan Expo again.
Nobody made it to Fan Expo this weekend.
Technically, you could still do that.
Well, there's that. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean,
there's no Fan Expo, but that's okay. Did they do anything? Like, did they do like an online thing or anything? I don't know.
I would think that I would usually get an email about it or see something on the Facebooks, but
yeah, no. I saw nothing on the Facebooks. Yeah, like I get their spam emails constantly, but I don't look at them.
So but for all you know, there was.
For all I know, there was a big, but I would have thought someone in my group on Facebook would have mentioned, "Hey, I'm watching this" or something. Like, so I don't think
We didn't even get an email from Scoop.
Exactly. Let's do a virtual hangout. Blah, blah, blah.
And so, yeah, it's all weird. But I just went to look at their. Well, that's not their website at all. Because one of the kids' scout leaders also works for them, and so we often hear stuff from him as well. And it's all weird. It's all weird, but we know
weird.
Know this, yeah. So normally we would be hoping to at least make it for one night and some condensed bin diving. Mm-hmm. But alas and alack,
there's been no diving of the bins.
Hey, how about you, Al?
Who are you?
Well, I'm Al Sedano, and this weekend, well, like I mentioned last time, my wife and I were heading out to Universal Orlando for a bit of a getaway this weekend.
Yeah.
And because of that weekend, I want to give myself a title too. I am acting commander, although not the planetary champion of Talic 8, but I'm still acting commander of Disappointment.
Oh no.
Despite imagination, sadly, all plans proceeded on an incredibly not terrific, melancholy ending near troubling.
Oh dear.
Uh-oh. Yeah, it was not the best of weekends. We stayed on site, and it's, they have resort hotels. Well, first of all, the hotel we preferred to stay at, they decided they're closing half their hotels because of everything, which I understand.
Yeah.
And so our choice was the hotel is a little better than that one, a little more expensive. They're both about as nice, but you get express pass with it. You know, like a fast pass like Disney. But since we weren't really planning on going on rides, it's like, well, what's the point of that? Spending, you know, a little bit extra money to spend for something we're not going to use.
Right.
The other thing that it had was instead of having to take a bus, you know, shuttle bus or drive yourself, they have boats that like on the river that brings you right up to the front of the parks. So you kind of get to skip the main entry.
Mm-hmm.
Or there was one that was a little cheaper, but you would have the bus, or since we didn't want to be in a bus, even though they're kind of only filling half capacity, we don't want to be stuck in a bus with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
We decided we were going to take our own car there. So we went with that one. That was part of the mistake. Not as much like a resort, more like a very nice Holiday Inn. But if you're paying even cheaper than the other ones, but still, if you're paying for a resort, you kind of want a resort.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it all depends on expectations. I was kind of expecting a C level, and we got like C minus, so I wasn't too disappointed. She was expecting more of a B.
Oh,
so going to C minus is a lot very disappointing.
Yes.
You know, there was no, you know, plus it's a more of a family, it's the family friendly one. Great if you got little kids. They let the little kids get along. The kids get along with a lot more at the pools. It's really noisy.
Yeah.
But that means it's really noisy, you know, because the kids are running around a lot, screaming.
Yeah.
And also a lot of the food there is basically, like, if you got a kid with a typical, you know, eight-year-old's palate, oh, yeah, it's great. You know, it's the frozen, now we're just frying them real quick, chicken fingers and, you know, generic, you know, pizza and things like that. But if that's not what you're looking for, you're not going to be thrilled.
Yeah.
So there was that. And then on Sunday when we drove over, because it was late, you know, the Sunday of Labor Day. The day before, we had to wait a little bit for the parking part. We were stuck in traffic for literally an hour and a half. We are less than a mile away from the actual entrance. And that's what took us an hour and a half. And when we decided to go bolt, we were like two cars ahead of us from getting into a park to enter to go towards parking. And we saw as we went over the overpass how long that was. We would have been there for another hour, and there was no guarantee we were getting in.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Plus, they had lines, even we found the day before, there were still lines for letting people into the park once you got through with that.
Yeah.
So we ended up being home. So that also didn't help, is that the second day kind of didn't happen. It was an hour and a half in the car sitting, and then we drove home.
Ugh.
Oh, dude.
So, and a little better, I mean, there was some enjoyment. You know, the park was still fun. We went there for a couple hours on Saturday, walked around, saw things. We had a friend that went there recently who didn't live nearby, so he had bought the meal plans, and he sent us his leftover card, so we got, you know, most of our food and drinks that they were free.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And by the pool, I got to, you know, we sat by the pool that evening, and I read a bit. You know, rereading some stuff, Forgotten All-Star, which is a book, a biography on Gardner Fox.
Oh, really? Oh,
cool.
Very nice.
Yes, that's really, that's an excellent book.
Very cool.
And also I had a Superman vs. Kryptonite digest that I was reading some of the stories from, so.
Nice.
But still, not the greatest of trips, not the greatest of times, and she needed the stress removal more than I did, so she's feeling no really much better than she was when we left.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
No.
But I decided to take matter into my own hands. So we are spending a little bit, but it's worth it to get her mental health back. Yep. We are going to be staying at one of the better hotels for one night at the beginning of October.
Nice.
Taking a day and a half off just to get there, enjoy that hotel for the night, and see the park for the day and come home that night.
Nice.
Good.
So she's already in a better mood just from that. So.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing for sure. For sure.
Totally.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a long time, but when you're able to, it's great. Like, it's so much fun, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's why you have a season pass. I mean, we went five times last year.
Wow, that's amazing.
Which is why we weren't worried about rides or anything. I mean, we didn't go on any rides, and that wasn't us disappointed by that. We didn't plan on being in lines of people. We were just wanted to walk around and enjoy and see things and sit there and feel like we were away from the world for a couple hours.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So with the season passes this year, do they offer any concessions?
Yes, they basically paused the dates that they were closed, so you kind of get an extension of till whenever yours was supposed to end.
Right, okay, yeah.
So ours was supposed to end October 4th, so I believe we get to go to, like, sometime in December.
Oh, yes. That's right, because for December, it's not a barren wasteland for you guys. That's...
Yeah. No. We get winter, but like we like to put it, we get about 2 weeks worth of winter, but it's scattered throughout December, January, and February.
Yeah, and
day there.
Yeah, exactly. It used to be basically whenever we were going to visit my in-laws.
Next time you're doing that, let me know so I know when to plan to dress warmer.
Yeah, for sure, because you'll need to. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with that. That'll be an interesting thing. So they're not heading back anytime soon. So, yeah, we shall see. But I did actually, Murray, it turns out they had originally planned to bump Fan Expo until November.
Really?
Everything should be fine then. And, because, like, remember they used to do, like, the smaller one, like, when we went to, when we met Kitson, actually.
Yeah.
And that was one of the smaller ones. And, right. Anyway, they were going to do that, but they decided, that's not going to happen. So they were going to call it Fan Expo Canada Limited Edition. Because it was going to be smaller, but they ended up canceling it, and they just decided, see you next year. So if you bought
it, just going to bump it to next year.
Yeah. So if you bought a ticket, it'll be good until next year. Or if you want to get it refunded, you can do that. But otherwise, your ticket's good until next year, and it's going to be August 26th to 29th of next year, so not Labor Day.
I love that it's not Labor Day.
Yeah, so if things are still too scary, then maybe you and Scott and I can at least meet outside for a beer.
Totally. Oh my gosh, let's hope.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the best laid plans, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, yes. So
we have an issue.
We do.
Yes, we do. This is a big one. They've been promising this issue for a while.
We got a bunch of stuff happening in here.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yes. And and I believe there was some behind-the-scenes stuff as well that maybe...
Yes, they talk about that on the letters page.
Oh perfect. Okay. Perfect. Yep.
So I guess I'll just start started then.
Sure.
So we got Legion 90, number 16. And this one is filled with old Silver Age Marvel style captions on the cover.
Yes.
Because it says, who is the newest Legionnaire? Where does he come from? And why is he so gosh darn familiar? And we have a guy in a typical Legion outfit, black with the kind of yellow orangish lining with the Legion symbol, lifting up what looks like weights, but he's completely ripped them out of their anchors. They kind of look like a waist that, like, you would see Ben Grimm use a lot.
Totally.
Yes. Yeah.
And he is very familiar. He almost has I almost want to say Superboy look, but not Superboy. Almost like, I don't know, like an older brother or something.
Yeah. Like, he's a guy you could buy brushes from.
Yes. Totally. I would totally buy a brush from this guy.
Inventor of the Cobb salad, Bob Cobb.
Totally.
And the cover is credited by McGuire and Gordon and Laverne as well. His name is written there as well. So all is credited this time.
He gave himself top billing, I see.
Yes.
Teach those bastards to cut me out at the bottom there. I'll write mine above them.
There you go.
That's right.
And our splash page, that story is titled Monster, Monster. Alan Grant and Barry Kitson, script, co-plotters, and pencils. Mark McKenna, inks. Caspar is letters. Laverne Kandursky is colors. And the mighty Art Young is the editor. And we have our character from the front, from the cover, smashing through a wall. Kool-Aid Man style.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we can see he is being observed by Vril Dox and a couple of the Legion members, and he is flying through an obstacle course. And the other guys are watching going, sheesh, he didn't miss a one as he's flying through the obstacle course rings. And even Dox is kind of impressed.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice. And the guy lands in front of him. You've seen enough. Not by a long shot. I want to know everything you can do. Supervision. Destroy it. And he points at a little mannequin. You're the boss. And Supervision, poof, sends that thing on fire. And then Larissa comes in to yell at Dox, of course. Dox, what in the name of the shadows is going on here? Just a little test for my new recruit. New recruit, name of Largand, Daxamite. Being away from Daxam and its red sun gives him all the benefits of flight, invulnerability, super speed, and super strength. As we see Lar lifting weights, and the readout is saying, press reading, 18,884. Warning, approaching overload. And he basically just...
That's exactly what my gym machines say.
Right?
Totally. Me and Lar.
Yeah, that's why I tell people. That's why I can't use them. Use them there. I'm going to break them. So.
Exactly.
I'm just looking out for y'all.
Yeah. Well, leave something for everyone else.
That's right.
And Larissa's watching this thing. Very impressive. You could probably retire the rest of us right now. I only hope he stays on our side. Wow, very Reed Richards.
Yeah, no kidding.
What if he should turn against humanity? Reed, that's just Willy Lumpkin. He's the mailman. It's okay.
I mean, he even looks like Stan.
Just bigger ears.
Yes.
But Frill tells her, don't you worry about that. All right, Lar, we're almost through. By the way, this is Larissa Maller, my second in command. Takes care of the database business. Lar says to her, I've heard much about the champion of Talak 8.
There it is. There it is.
Look at that. She doesn't even have to have anyone. Yeah. She doesn't even have to say it now. She's got people saying it for her.
I know. I liked her for a reason.
Yeah.
He says, I heard much about the champion of Talak 8. It's an honor to meet you, ma'am. Thank you. I have to admit, your little display there was spectacular. But Brill interrupts her. Perhaps you can save the mutual admiration for later. Lar, I'd like you to open this. And opens up a box. Surely, but I do not see why. By Daxam, what? I feel I can't. And he collapses. Excellent. Dox, what have you done to him? Expose him to lead. Fatal to Daxamite, you know. Fatal? But you can't. My God, you can't. Of course I can't. I told you, it's only a test. Here, I have the antidote. You're a callous brute, Dox. Hurry up, he's dying. Sip this, Lar. And he gives it to the almost passed out Largand. See, he's recovering already. And Lar grabs him quickly by the neck. Yeah. His body gives him a roar. Oh, that was a filthy deception. I have a good mind to. No, please. Do not interfere, Larissa Maller. He deceived me. I might have died. He deserves what he's about to get.
Huh. That's a different attitude from Mr. Mon-El.
Yeah, one thing I would also like to point out, couldn't someone have told Superman about this serum that they've already got?
That's true. Well, I mean, at this point.
I mean, I guess we already knew. Yeah.
He hasn't been sentenced to the Phantom Zone yet. Yeah. But
it was there all along. So all Superman needed to do was maybe ask around some.
That's right.
Hey, he was busy with the prankster.
Just do a little networking, Kal-El.
Yeah,
that's his excuse, and you stick him with it. Hey, what do you expect from a guy whose father decided, let me test my rocket out. Hey, son, give me your puppy for a minute.
Yeah. That's terrible.
But true.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's why Crypto's alive. I mean, yeah, granted, it saved Crypto's life, but still.
Yeah.
Oh, I had never looked at it that way. That's horrible.
Mm-hmm. But speaking of horrible, so Real Dox is being held up by the shirt. Listen, I know lead is irreversibly toxic to Daxamites, but I've devised a serum to cure it. Without me, you'll always be in fear, in danger. Now, are you willing to take that risk? And we jump ahead to where Larissa is basically telling the story to Strata, who is getting her excess crystals removed. And Lar right. put him down. Can you believe even Dox would do something like that? Easily. Ow.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, maybe he's also has that reaction besides being very young. He probably also just, since this is only 16 issues after Invasion, only recently found out that his father died from that, basically.
True. So you're
basically poisoning me with the exact same thing that just killed my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
But back to the more amusing things of Strata getting her crystals removed. I'm afraid I have my own problem. Ah, right now. Hold still, will you, lady? The crystal's growth stopped, but the lasers have no effect. The only way is to chip them off, and we got a guy there with basically a mallet and a chisel.
Yeah. Sometimes the pedicure is brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, never ask for the dryadium package. And Lars is like, well, then I'll leave you to it. Thanks. Ah, I told you, stay still. Don't let Docs take up all your time, Larissa. There are others who need you, like Beck. Ow! And speaking of, was it God Emperor Beck, I think he's calling himself now?
I think so, yeah.
He's standing there doing the big arms thing, like he's in the middle of the Last Supper, posing for the Last Supper painting. Eyes closed, saying, I grow bored, Mary Jane. I weary of these endless tests. I must seize my destiny as leader of Legion. The universe awaits me. And there's his ex-wife, Mary Jane.
With a bad sunburn, man.
I know. I mean, she is just painted red completely. Very weird.
Yeah, I think it's a... We'll call it a coloring error.
Yeah, I'm running from a scan, and the colors are horrendous on this scan. From like basically page 2 on, there's a lot of red. I think something got left off.
I'm reading on DC Universe and it's still the red's there. Usually a lot of times, you know, one of the complaints about some of these digital ones is that they change the coloring too much.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think they had to change much.
It was like, couldn't they have?
Because in this one, everyone's skin is red except for Lobo's.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess they fix everyone but her.
Okay, fair enough. Woof.
Yeah, she's pretty red. I don't think it's... Well, maybe it is through the whole book.
Well, she did go away. Maybe she went on vacation and just didn't use enough sunscreen.
Yeah, I guess. That's probably it.
Those Cairnian beaches.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're tough.
Gotta be careful. But yeah, so, and the eye is also there in some kind of machine for her to test it out. She's thinking, Grok. Or just one last series, Garen. I mean, we can't take any chances for your health, can we? Physically or mentally. Your concern is noted, mortal, but I have a destiny to pursue. Thus do I send forth the eye to summon the deceitful one among us. I wonder if that's intentional or not, where every time he said I so far, it's been spelled out, E-Y-E, except when he says, I send forth the I, and then that's the letter I.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it's a way of showing his...
He's more emerald-eyed than Garen, I guess?
Yeah, his kind of connection to the eye, like the when he's talking about the... Emerald Eye, and he's using the capital I to it's just kind of showing us he's seeing himself as the eyeball, and the eyeball is kind of seeing himself as Gare. I don't know. It's just a nice little.
It's a weird cross pollination of the pronouns and the And the description, it's interesting because you're right. I think it shows, it illustrates the instability that's going on with him as the eye has taken over.
Exactly. Now that part I think works with using the different spelling. Here we're about to get the panel that does. I don't think works though, because the eye flies off to go look for the deceitful one, as he's called it.
Right.
And she says, Garen, I just spent hours setting up that experiment. Look what you just did. He says, not I, saying not E-Y-E.
Yes.
Yeah.
The letter I. And like, that part wasn't neat. That doesn't really work.
Yeah.
I don't know what version of there you're saying when you say there. Saying not there, there.
Yeah, I use context clues to tell me.
That's right.
Yeah.
It is of no consequence. I must consider weightier matters. Speaking of which, are you on a diet? Because they are drawing her a little slimmer.
Slightly, yeah.
Yeah, relatively speaking, yeah.
And she does not look very pleased at him asking these personal questions.
Yeah, like, yeah, you're right. She's probably lost a chin.
Yeah.
Well, before she was definitely a lot bigger. I mean, using other characters, she was closer to traditional versions of the Blob. Not that big, but almost a big. And now she's my kind of more on...
she's just a big boned lady.
Now she's pre-52 Amanda Waller.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
Right.
And we jump out to the asteroid base of Dagon Ra. Impressive, eh? My newfound ally, who's showing off his new place to his new recruit, Lobo. At least 100 ships, well over 1,000 men have rallied to me already, and that is just the beginning. You're going to be the richest outlaw in space, Dag. You will learn, Lobo. I am not interested in money. Power is what I crave. After all, what use is mere wealth to one who could turn the very air to gold with a single thought? Which he does. Ownership is nothing. Power, control is all. As he just flicks that gold nugget away. Yeah, whatever you say, Dag.
You know, I'd take some gold, personally.
Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Those who follow me accept my power, and they gain a certain amount of it for themselves. Those who resist me, well, they don't for long. Come, there's someone I want you to meet. And they go to a room, and there, sitting on the possibly a bed, is, as Dagon says, Lady Quark.
Wow.
Possibly one of the most powerful beings in the universe, able to generate her own inborn nuclear powers at will. And yet she waits for me like a pet.
Wow.
Sitting there all playboy, playmatey on the bed.
Now, except it has been 5 years, 5 years since the, well, I guess 4 years since the end of the crisis.
Yes.
Have we seen much of her outside of, like, you know, in where she was in one of the later issues of
DC Comics
DC Comics Presents? Yeah. Yeah. But aside from that, have we seen much of her?
No.
Yeah, no. That's interesting. That's very interesting that they, that, you know, because there's been a lot of time spent trying to maybe not deny the crisis, but to it's interesting because around this time in Superman, they did things where he would mention about, oh, I haven't seen so-and-so since the crisis. And it's like, oh, so we're talking about that then.
Yeah.
Right. Because yeah, so the idea that the crisis didn't need to happen, and then they retconned it to being just that they were trying to bring the antimatter universe and the matter universe together, and that was what the problem was. And so there was some changing around of sort of what the crisis meant. But for a while, there was also a lot of the, well, that never happened, did it? Yeah. And even though you had characters that died in the crisis, and some of them we said that's how it happened, and others it was like, oh no, there was another thing that did that, and yeah, so there was it's just interesting to bring in a character so inextricably linked to the crisis, and I mean, great that they did. For sure, especially because it, you know, the way it starts to go, it really surprised me when she showed up.
Okay, yes. So
this was a big surprise, yeah,
because there's a lot of stuff I remember from those earlier, like post-crisis issues, where they just kind of mentioned the crisis happened, but it was just a thing that happened. It was just, you know, we're not going to specify. All right, so I'm looking on the DC database now. Unfortunately, they're not giving things in order. They're giving them alphabetical order.
Yeah.
But I am seeing she was in issue 8 of Starman. Not the It'd be the Will Payton.
Oh, the Will Payton.
So, yeah. That was like a year before this.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah, I guess it was. That started in 87, didn't it?
Because it says cover dated March 89.
Yeah.
So that she was in that issue. And I could tell that was, you know, before this. Also, but like you said, the DC Comics Presents issue, which was 94. And, of course, the History of the DC Universe. Issue 2.
I'm sorry, the DC Comics Presents. Oh, issue 94. Okay, issue 94. I was going to say. Wait a second.
And,
that seems to be after this.
And History of the DC Universe number 2, it looks like.
Right, so, yes.
Basically, everything else looks to be after the, you know, later on after this, so.
Yeah.
Basically, 3 appearances since Crisis ended.
Yeah, and I mean, so that makes sense. So it's just, and maybe, I find it interesting the way they brought together sort of these different cosmic characters, and that's...
I just realized that she's not even having any appearances really in other, I mean, unless she had like a cameo, like just drawn in there, she doesn't seem to be even really appearing in any Crisis crossovers.
No, exactly. And so, no, I think it's great that they, it's great that they didn't kind of have her, go away. Cause it sucks when they create new characters for things and never do anything with them.
Yeah.
They just Yeah, it's like what a waste, you know? It's like, I mean, all those great characters they created in Bloodlines, and
and they just didn't do anything with them.
No one cares about Joe Public.
Yeah, I mean, we should be on issue 237 of Anima, but no.
Well, to be fair, they did try to make Anima a thing. I think they gave her a miniseries or something.
No, she had an ongoing. She had an ongoing. It just didn't last.
At least like a year.
So it was like a miniseries. Yeah. It was a maximum.
Yes,
series.
It ended up being that way. Yes, but no. I know that there were. I'm being glib, of course, because I know that there were others that did do something with. Like, didn't Hitman come out of that?
He did.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
Possibly the biggest of them. I mean, it's, you know, he's no Jam, but but you know, I just hate when they, you know, create a character for an event and then do nothing with them. And I feel like with Pariah it was difficult because of the way they powered him, but for Lady Quark, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's a great character, and I'm glad that they did something with her for a while. And but yeah, I just remember like turning that page, and it was like, holy crap!
Yeah. It's like, oh wow, she's back.
Yeah, sure.
And even though like they kind of set us up for it a couple issues earlier when they did that little dream sequence with her or whatever it was.
The simulation sequence,
and you think, oh, that was just another, like, either it's either just here's another one-off of this character that nobody's doing anything with, blah, or it's setting us up for, guess who's coming, a couple issues down the road.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Well, I guess that's one of the fun of this series, they can kind of play with these characters no one cares about because they're out in space, and it's like, oh, I can do things with them, because no one else cares.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, like she said, she's lounging on the bed, although while she might be in that pose, she is looking, if you know, that is not a come hither look or blue steel she's giving him.
No.
That is looks could kill.
Exactly.
She is not happy at all. But no. Dagon-Rah, of course, is not caring, and he is creepily putting his hands all over her and under her chin to make her look up at him. I guess he's hoping for lovingly, but she's more like looking at what parts of his head she wants to sever his head from his body.
That's right. Creepy as heck, ain't it?
Yeah. He says, she daren't challenge me, for neither of us knows which would survive. Could she fry my brain before I transmuted hers to slime? Perhaps one day we'll find out, my dear? Whenever you feel you're ready. Take your filthy hands off me, you power-mad monster. I show you this for one reason, Lobo. You live because I allow it. Deceive me. Take one step out of line, and I'll turn every organ in your body into cyanide. I get the picture. Mm-hmm. Good. Lady Quirk and I have much to discuss. Why don't you go entertain yourself? The telepath will show you around. You're my kind of guy, Dag. I can see I'm going to love it here. Makes mincemeat of Doxy's plans, though. And speaking of Doxy's having a, we'll call it a conversation. With stealth.
Of sorts, yeah.
Totally unreasonable self. I'm making you a very fair offer, all things considered. All what things exactly? That I am the child's father. It may have slipped your mind, but I am the one you murdered and raped.
There they go. So... they lay it there right
it
out
is.
There.
There it is. Okay, so finally. Get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said I was sorry. I don't think cool. A My Bad covers that.
Yeah, yeah, they're not really going into any depth here with the...
Yeah, ouch.
That's going to be about as much exploration like, of the issue as we're going to get.
It's like we've said, it is... it was a very different time.
I said I was sorry. You know I couldn't help it. Besides, a lot of people would have said I was doing the universe a favor. Understand this, you snake. You will never get custody of my child. I'll kill you all over again first. You're being silly. I'm not some kind of monster. I only want a chance. A chance to be the kind of father that I never knew. Oh, yeah? So how come less than a week ago you were advocating abortion? A mistake. I admit it. Well, that's a shock.
Uh-huh.
Makes me, I don't...
Wait, what's his angle?
Yeah, exactly. Like, wait, you said you made a mistake? What's the plan? But now I've had some time to think things through. So the great Dox was wrong for once? Well, tough luck, mister. The child is mine. I'll look after it without any help from you. Now get out of here before I throw you out. No, you listen to me, Stealth. I have much right to... Eh? And the eye shows up. What the hell do you want? And the eye starts nudging him.
Yeah.
It says nudge. You, I guess. We'll finish this later. It's finished, Ace. Bye! As the eye pushes him out the door. All right, I'm going. Damn you. And you can wipe that smile off your face, Stealth. It's like a very needy, again, very needy puppy.
That's just right. Like,
come on, we're going for walkies. And in comes FaZe. Will Docs be okay with that thing? Who cares? Hey, like the haircut.
There we go. This is the biggest change yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
She has a kind of very short-haired, spiky-ish haircut.
Yep. Very 90s. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks. I thought if I'm starting a new life, I might as well start at the top. What did Vril want? What else? His own way. And meanwhile, Vril is being pushed forward down the hallway past everyone by the eye. Will you stop it, damn you? I'll go to Beck at my own pace. And apparently the eye does not like that because it basically just starts flying.
Yeah.
Just pushes his back and just flies him out. Ah! Look out, Chief Doc's coming through! Ah! And we go to another part of the headquarters where Larissa is asking two guys who are wheeling in a block of something or a big box or crate. Exactly what is this? Weapons and supplies for the attack on Dagon Ra's asteroid, Miss Maller. Attack? Dagon Ra? Chief Doc so to take us straight to his quarters. What? Wait right there. Don't even think of touching that crate till I get back. What's her problem? Damn bigwigs are all the same. Never know who's running the show. Pretty accurate.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, back to Guide Emperor Beck and Mary Jane. The eye has just finished flying rocks into the room. Docs, I wonder what was keeping you. Good work, faithful eye, as he pats the emerald eye. Come on, Doc, stop fooling around as he's trying to get off the floor. This has gone too far, Beck. I'm going to beat the living daylights out of you. Ooh, I don't think the eye likes that. Well, perhaps not then. Well, what do you want me for anyway? It better be important. It is. I want you to give me a total rundown on everything Legion is up to. I'm ready to assume command. Of course, Garen. Though I'm surprised you want to concern yourself with the mundane running of the Force. Not when there are higher concerns, such as what precisely? The future, the shape of things to come, the kind of universe we're creating. We don't need a leader, Garen. We need a philosopher, a man capable of rising above the mundane. A man to formulate our guiding principles so that we always and only serve the good. You've often pointed out my questionable methods, my errors in direction. But I am a good leader of men. You be my guiding light, Garen, and I will be your strong right arm.
Oh, boy.
You give me much food for thought, Vril Dox. Be still now. I must consider. And at this point, Larissa has walked in. I don't believe this. Exactly what are you up to, Dox? Be patient. I'll explain later. And having considered, I am decided. Your words shown wisdom beyond your years, Vril Dox. The Eye and I do indeed have a destiny far beyond mere clerking. We will reshape the galaxy, nay, the entire universe, in weird and wondrous ways. Mary Jane, attend me in my contemplation. You others, be gone. The test, as the others leave, Mary Jane's asking him, the test, Garen, do I continue? I. Because we're throwing an A-Y-E there just to make things more confusing.
Oh, homonyms are not Beck's friend.
I want to see him face off against Onomatopoeia.
Yes.
Just be click, bang, I. And as they're walking away now, Larissa's yelling at Dox. What was that all about? What do you mean, ordering the Legion to stand by for Battle of Dagomron's Raiders? I thought we agreed. Interesting. Did you notice Mary Jane's weight loss? Damn it, Dox, you promised you'd consult me. Dox, you don't give me an explanation and fast. You will spend the rest of your miserable life trying to remember what daylight looked like. And don't think I don't mean it. I've had just about enough. How can I go on working with you when I can't ever trust you? Larissa, I only said I consider your ideas. I am in charge. I make the decisions. You and Legion carry them out. I've never let you down yet. Trust me. Nothing can go wrong. Oh, God. Trust me. Yeah, that always works.
Yep.
And back at Dagon's headquarters, we have a creepy-looking alien guy. So you're a fishy lover too, huh, little guy? Hell, I've hunted those babies clear across the galaxy. Must have killed hundreds of them. Thousands, easy. And Lobo is... I don't think this is having the desired effect on Lobo that this guy's thinking it's going to. Is that so? Slime bag! And he just backhands the guy. And jumps on him. Say your prayers, killer! Hey, come on! There was only a stupid fish! The new guy's slaughtering Marlin! You think? And one of them grabs Lobo from behind. Alright, Lobo, enough. You've made your point. You think? The point is made when I say it's made. Catch my glyph, my drift collide, and elbows the guy in the face. Now get off of me! Leave him alone, you little bully. Let's teach him a lesson, guys. One for all and all for one, huh? Good! It's kind of the odds I like, and Lopo starts punching him out. Bop, whap, whomp. People flying all over. Ah, look out! And we see our furry Chewbacca guy there. Yikes! And at this point, Dagon walks in. Having fun, are we? I don't suppose you'd like to try that on me. What? You want a party? Then come on! Come on! And Lobo leaps at him and falls right on his face in front of him. Fool! Because he has turned Lobo's boots into, well, some kind of heavy metal. It's one of the guys. Nice one, Chief. Heavy metal footwear. A little too big for his boots, this Lobo. In a manner of speaking, you better cut him down to size. And all the guys are gathering on Lobo. Maim him, torture him, mush him up, and spread him on toast.
The breakfast of champions.
Yes. Lobo on toast.
I think that would. I think that guy must be related to rock creatures from Bone. Spread him on toast or make quiche.
That's right.
Yes.
And so everyone is having a beat down on the on Lobo since he can barely move. And they're punching and kicking him. Bad boy. Bastard. Oh, pff, kicking him in the face. Excellent. I think he's learned his lesson. Now, let the air molecules around his legs turn to normal as Lobo's laying there and his face is in a pool of blood.
Yeah, so. He's had a beating.
Again, something that's will change later on. I mean, I don't think later on that would affect Lobo at all.
No.
But he's very much their Wolverine in that respect, and like in regard to his abilities. I mean, earlier Wolverine gets stabbed through the heart and lives, but it takes him like months to recover. Later on, Wolverine gets nuked and literally comes back in 5 minutes.
Yeah, for sure.
And both of those are actually not, in case anyone never read those, both those are not me being sarcastic or hyperbole. Both those things have actually happened to him.
Yeah, 100%. Yes. Yes, it's not like that. It is that.
I think the nuking was in, or the equivalent of a nuke. I think it was in the one of the Civil War tie-in issues, and the stabbing through the heart was the Kitty Pryde Wolverine mini.
Mm-hmm.
Kitty did it. He's a proud one, but I'm sure we'll break him of that. Take him to the cells and let him cool off. And they're dragging Lobo away. And Telepath is leading the guy. It looks like he's a big kind of guy with one eye. He's the one that Lobo called Clyde.
Yes.
Bring him to the dungeon. Another customer for the dungeons. Skinnick. Sure, why not?
Yes.
And that guy, the torturer, is there. I'll take him down in a minute, guys. Just as soon as I finish with Captain Comet. Because he is torturing Captain Comet.
Which is a huge surprise to anyone following the book.
Yes.
Because they've totally been setting us up for thinking Adam Strange was going to be making an appearance.
Yeah.
And that's what they explain in the letters page. They say something strange about Adam Department. Huh. And they just go on to say, bet a lot of you were expecting to see Adam Strange this issue, huh? Sure looked like it was going that way, didn't it? Well, it was, until the old conflicting schedule monster reared its ugly head. When we planned to guest star Adam in this title, we thought he'd be appearing well before the Adam Strange Prestige Limited series was out, and as it happens, our guest shot pretty much coincides with that series. Which is true, because I think the series just finished up in the last month or two when this issue came out. So they said, we felt it would be unfair and confusing to portray the old Adam Strange in this title since he's just in the midst of a miniseries that is redefining his character. Fortunately, we had an understudy waiting in the wings to step in at the last minute. Understudies never substitute for listed players unless a specific announcement is made at the time of the performance. And who better than that other red-suited Murphy Anderson-type DC spaceman, Captain Comet. The good captain's just been aching to get back into the comics business, and he was very grateful to us for giving him that chance. We remember him saying something like, you like me, you really like me. Swapping Captain Comet for Adam Strange is just one example of those last-minute creative solutions we editors have to come up with every day in the high-pressure world of comics. Anyway, see if you really like him. We're sure you'll let us know. And that's your insider poop for this month.
Wow. Uh-huh. Yeah, so the just looking up some of that. Of course, Captain Comet was created by some guy named Julius Schwartz, along with John Broom and Carmine Infantino. And of course, you know, so he first appeared in June of 1951. So they created him a few years before they would then bring out the new version of the Flash.
And that was Adam Strange or Captain Comet?
Captain Comet.
Okay. Carmen Infantino was involved in.
Yeah.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. So. But as you say, like Murphy Anderson was, he drew the bulk of his stories, but he first,
right, right.
He first showed up in a 10-page story, The Origin of Captain Comet, which was in Strange Adventure, issue number 9. And so Infantino was the artist on that story, John Broom, under an alias of Edgar Ray Merritt, was the writer of it. And, of course, Julia Schwartz was the editor. And so it was a two-part story. And then after that, Murphy Anderson took over as the artist and basically drew him for another few years. So as they say, like, you know, kind of now Murphy Anderson actually co-created Adam Strange. So, you know, there were many similarities, including the name, because, of course, Captain Comet is Adam Blake.
Oh, yeah. That's funny, though, because I feel like, didn't Carmine Infantino go on to draw many of the Adam Strange appearances?
You know, he might have. Yes, he did. Yes.
I feel like he did.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
So basically, Adam Strange, on the other hand, appeared for the first time in Showcase. Issue number 17, November 1958, so 7 years later, and was created by Julius Schwartz, and basically they, you know, so Captain Comet was based on Captain Future, and then they were trying to come up with something sort of a Space Ranger kind of thing, and so they put him in Showcase in 1958 through to March of 59, so issue 17 through 19. And the first artwork was a cover for Showcase 17 by Murphy Anderson, who designed the costume, although the cover ended up being replaced by one with from Gil Kane. And then he assigned the writing of the stories to Gardner Fox.
Right.
And the penciling to Mike Sikowski. And so they kind of came up with their thing. But then after a while, they decided to give him a run in Mystery in Space as well. And so from issues 53 through 100 and then issue 102, they actually gave the penciling assignment to Carmine Infantino, inked by Murphy Anderson.
Oh, right.
So, uh-huh. Yeah. So, well, so we kind of get that whole there are a lot of connections, you know, whether it be the Infantino connection as well as the Murphy Anderson connection. And of course, just in general, you know, DC Comics 50s sci-fi.
Yeah.
It's
kind of funny, though, because Adam Strange is such a part of the Silver Age, and you kind of think of Captain Comics as like something from like a long time before that, but he's only like 7 years before.
7 years. But 7 years in comics back then, that was a long time, right?
That's a generation.
That was basically the end of the Golden Age. He was created almost.
Pretty much, yeah. So if you think about it, like that would have been before kind of the Silver Age revitalization of DC.
Before Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, largely driven by Schwartz and Infantino and John Broom, and so kind of an interesting thing. But yeah, so he appeared before that. So. You know, there's some sort of now he was the considered the what was it the man of the future, born 100,000 years before his time. Yeah. He was one of the first comic book mutants. Right, like that was the thing that they always said was that he was a mutant. And now I first read Captain Comet when he showed up in Secret Society of Supervillains.
Yes, me too.
Right.
And so of course, you know, the 50s was kind of his time, and they would bring him about every now and then. As I say, like Secret Society of Supervillains was part of it. Like he was one of, like they had a poll for potential Justice League members, and he was one of them. And Bob Rozakis he had a proposal for a Captain Comet series, and then of course came the implosion.
Mm.
And so yeah, he had, as I say, he was in Strange Adventures and then disappeared for a long time, and then came back in that Secret Society of Supervillains and brought back by Conway. And then kind of disappeared for a while. He would show up in various things. He showed up in an issue of All-Star Squadron and, of course, in The Crisis, because that's what you did. The only other couple of stories I can remember were he appeared twice in DC Comics Presents, once in 1980 and once in 1986. And then, of course, in the Secret Origins Annual Volume 2, Roy Thomas did a retelling of his origin. And then he showed up in DC Challenge. And that was the end of it for a while, wasn't it? And then, of course, showing up here. And as they say, he then became a supporting character in Legion 90 from issue 16. Captain Comet was actually a late replacement for fellow 1950s space traveler Adam Strange, who was due to become a regular character, as otherwise it would have clashed with the Adam Strange limited series published around the same time. And then Comet continued on to Rebels and then had another hiatus.
he's a character that, like, yeah, has a little run, vanishes for a long time.
Yeah, well, for this
one. And then comes back.
Yeah, like, they mentioned this solo story in Showcase 96, issue 10. So that's November of 96. And then they don't really mention anything until 2005 during the Sandigar War when Starlin brought him back.
Mm-hmm. And then he has a bit of a run. Like, he has a run.
Totally. There was a new mystery. I think it was called Mystery in Space miniseries that he had.
Yes, it was. Yeah, Mystery in Space was the series in 2006, which I guess so that would have followed out from the Ran Thanagar War. And he showed up in Ran Thanagar Holy War, Strange Adventures in 2009, as well as appearing briefly in 52 and in Final Crisis. And then, of course, was the second Rebels series, and he was in that. So.
Yes.
But,
So he's due. He's due for another revival in the next.
Any day now. Now, I don't remember. Adam Blake was Comet, a hyper-evolved. Oh, yes, okay. Yes. So they did kind of a thing in the Morrison and Morales Action Comics.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that? So he was Comet, a hyper-evolved human who, at the time of his birth, a comet passed over his house, and the radiation caused his body to evolve and be, as scientist Emery Zacro called it, born 1,000 years ahead of his time. Misunderstood, he was shunned by his father and the rest of the town and roamed rural Kansas for several years until it was time for him to go to space, to the source of his power. At the end of issue 12 of Action Comics, he was revealed as the first Neo-Sapien, enlisted by the Urtkind to find others similarly evolved, including Lois Lane's niece, Susie. God, I had forgotten all of that.
That's right. He brought back the Susie because that was like a Golden Age character.
Yeah. Wow.
Huh.
Crazy.
Well, DC has totally forgotten all about that, too.
Yes, indeed. Yes, we've all moved on. So yeah, he's due at some point because they don't mention anything since that.
No, I think that was his swan song. I think Starlin did a little bit with him here and there whenever he was still at DC, but it's been a while.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure. I think that was all pre-New 52.
Yes.
Think so.
Yeah. Oh, and New 52. Yeah, that's true. And that's been around for.
Although, didn't Starlin write Stormwatch towards the end, which I don't think I had a chance to read. So he could have brought him back in there because.
Because Starlin's a guy who likes to bring back characters, you know, and.
What? Yeah. Never.
Yeah. The devil you say. Anyway. Yeah. So that's...
Yes. So that's where we're at. We got all these new characters on the board ready to be explored.
Yeah, we got three of them actually showing up, not just simulations.
That's right.
That's right. And sorry, we also remember that he showed up at the end of you're right. You mentioned this, Al, and I think you meant it literally, but he did show up at the very end of the Golden Age.
Yeah.
Is that what you meant, or were you saying like he was created at the end of the Golden Age?
I meant the actual Golden Age itself, the age, but you're right. He does show up at the end of the series, the Golden Age.
The Golden Age. Like, how perfect is that, right? Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that was intentional. I'm sure that had to be fully intentional.
I know that you planned it. Yes. But that idea to have him show up at the end of that, because he was kind of the first of that next generation. So apparently Robinson was way ahead of us on that. So, because I've just been rereading the after we talked last week, the Starman Omnibus, and reading a lot of the text pieces in there, because it's been a long time since I've read any of that stuff. And and he talked a lot about the Golden Age, so I went down and I leafed through it, and so I should have remembered that part of it. Yeah, and I'll bet I even did. I bet I even looked at it and said, you know, I should remember this for the show.
At least that would have been me.
Yeah, but then I used all that brain power to come up with an acronym, so what the hell?
No. We'll suck a lot of things out.
All righty. Well, that brings us probably to the end of the show, unless there's feedback.
Oh, yes, and there is.
Ooh, coolio.
By golly, there is. And let me just open that up. Because my kids brought the iPad back to me with like 10% battery, so
they're good at doing that.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. All right. Did I do that one? I did that one. Yes. Okay, but I didn't do this one. Perfect. All right, from our friend David Spofforth out there near W6. So this is in reference to last week's episode, episode 15. He says, I remember when you talked about that Justice League Europe cover a while back, and it's not quite how you remember it. This is the one with the cat.
Okay.
I referred to it last time. He says, that cover had the gunman holding up the mangy flea bag and said, buy this comic or we won't shoot the cat.
I was right.
So yes, I had it completely wrong. I thought it was basically like an homage to the old Flash cover. It wasn't, or maybe sort of. I don't know. He says anyway. He says gorgeous cover, despite the cat, by the famous Batman team of Marshall Rogers and Terry Austin. So there you go, and that is feedback. Thank you very much for that, David. For those interested in sending feedback, you can either head over to the website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and go to whichever LEGION episode you want to go to and comment there. Or you can send an email to the Legion of Substitute Podcasters, to Legion of Substitute Podcasters @gmail.com, and just put LEGION in the subject line or somewhere in the message, and I'll figure it out. And so there we go. That actually gets the contact info sorted as well.
Perfect. All righty. Well, that brings us to the end of another WEEK.
Indeed.
See you all another TIME.
LATER.
SEEYA.